How much money does a Springbok rugby player earn? Some say too much. Others, like myself and former Bok FC'er Smit, say not enough. Today, you are going to get a front row seat as I break down for you what a Springbok earns and compare it to what other athletes from other sports earn. Two-time Rugby World Cup winner Hendre Pollard is the Springbok who earns more than any other. As I speak, Pollard is about a month away from finishing his contract with Leicester Tigers. He will then return to the Bulls in a blockbuster deal. It has been described as one of the biggest contracts in the history of South African rugby. It's a two-year deal for the 30-year-old. Now, according to report, Pollard earns around £650,000 per season at Leicester. And the Bulls are said to be coming in somewhere in that vicinity. Pete, what's that in rands? A shade over 15 million rand per season is your answer. We also know that typically a Springbok earns between 5 and 7 million rand per year. The exceptions to that are Pollard and players like Siya Kolisi and Eben Etzebeth. Next question. Where the hell did the Bulls get that kind of money from? Well, it turns out they don't have to foot the entire bill. That's because there's this thing called pony contracts. Pony, P-O-N-I, stands for Player of National Interest. It's an SA Rugby provision. But more on that a little later. To be sure, the reports also suggest that Bulls shareholders, Johan Rupert, Patrice Motsepe and Johan van Sail, have also assisted with the Pollard deal. But you know what, guys? You don't need to have Rupert or Motsepe money if you'd like to help me to do this channel full-time. If you want great benefits like Springbok merchandise, matchday tickets, Zoom Q&As with me, or you'd like me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player, why not head on over to my Patreon page and sign up? It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Zimbabwean. The reason I want your support is because I would love to do this full time, and I would also love to go to Australia and cover the Rugby World Cup for you in 2027 with daily content from Down Under. So if you're keen to join my dream team and support me, the link is in the description area below. In advance, thank you for your support. Now, I promised you more about this pony business, the player of national interest. I'm going to let Russi explain it to you.
You must remember the pause we had when I was playing a little bit later. Let's not talk about my era, but a little bit later in 2011, 2013. There were only 7 or 8 or 12 or 13 Springbok contract with players. And then we went to a tripartite agreement and now we're on a player of national interest where we are signing players from come through various academies, who goes through our junior structures, and we try to keep them here, the younger ones, because we believe when a young player is going abroad, it's very tough to pick that player. There's very few that we do that with. We believe a player should have staked his claim here before he goes over there, because it's difficult to rank him out of the Japanese league and premiership and top 14 if you don't know the player. So, the Players of National Interest budget, I'm not the director of rugby anymore, but I work very close with Dave Vessels. Charles is our GM of the Springboks. You know, he's got a budget, and we meet with the franchises, and that budget on succession planning for us, because it must be Players of National Interest. Players will probably play Springbok one day. And if we've got budget left, and, you know, obviously we have to get everything signed off and agreed upon. But if we rank players and we thin, or a player might leave, like Joseph Dweba is leaving, and money gets freed up, and a guy like Andre comes back, we can add a little bit more. So we contribute to how many players?
It's over 50.
Just between 50 and 60 players currently, and that's from junior. So that's much better than the old days. We had 1 year where we had 14 signed players, and only 4 of them played more 50% of all the matches they could have played. So yes, where we can, we contribute. And obviously, if we can get some of the experienced guys back, like Andre, that helps.
Just to add to that, we don't contract the players.
Cool.
So it is up to the franchises to bring the player back within a salary cap that they agreed themselves on. So they can contract within a salary band that they can themselves agreed what it will be. As Rassie said, our contribution from South Africa rugby side is on the, we make a contribution to the salary, not to the player directly, to the union, and that helps the union or the franchise to be able to contract the players. But we don't contract players directly.
Okay, that was Rassie and SARU CEO Riaan Oberholzer. And now I want to show you a graph that breaks it down for you to get an idea of how that money is actually allocated. This graph is courtesy of Cash and Sport. So if you're in the Springbok Matchday squad, you earn a fraction over 118,000 Rand per match. The non-playing squad members get a little over 59,000 Rand per week, or 8,500 Rand per day. If you're in the training squad and are released to your province, you're also on 8,500 Rand per day. All of that is fully funded by SARU. And then you have the pony player minimum salary, and that is 11,985 Rand per month and is partially funded via a pool fund. So if you're a pony player, the minimum you'll earn is 11,985 Rand per month. My understanding, as per what Oberholzer said, is that that acts as a top-up to what the provincial unions or franchises are already paying the players. Let's go lower down the rungs. A semi-professional player, minimum salary there is 6,790 Rand per month. A development player minimum salary has no set minimum. I'd like to point out that neither has a specified SARU contribution, but SARU does fully fund a minimum annual retainer for Springbok Sevens players at a little over 350,000 Rand per year. If they win a Sevens tournament, then the bonus ranges from a fraction over 6,000 Rand to 37,000 Rand per player. And then each of the following is not specified in terms of SARU's contributions. A domestic franchise player's minimum salary is 39,500 Rand per month. A Currie Cup First Division player gets a match fee of just over 2,000 Rand per game. And a Currie Cup Premier Division player gets a little over 3,000 Rand as his match fee. So let's say you're a Stormers player not playing for the Springboks. That means you're earning 40,000 Rand or thereabouts per month. Now, I grant you that is what the newer or younger players are earning, but there are two important factors at play here. Firstly, is it actually enough? Now, I'll say this, enough is a relative term. What might be enough for me might not be enough for you. It's also worth noting that many players have sponsors for things like cars, cell phones, clothing, equipment, etc. Their endorsement deals are not included in this list. It's purely salary. So just as a fun exercise, I asked ChatGPT, what should a South African middle-class citizen earn per month in order to live a relatively comfortable lifestyle? Do you want to know the answer? So yes, there are several variables, but ChatGPT's final answer reads as follows. To live comfortably, not extravagantly, in a major South African city, a middle-class individual should ideally earn 25,000 Rand per month plus after-tax per month. For a family, the household should earn 45,000 Rand to 60,000 Rand plus after-tax, which puts them near or slightly above the upper middle class threshold by local standards. Now, I don't know about you, but I would like our professional athletes to live comfortably. But I also think it's important that these guys earn enough while they play so that they can retire when they stop playing rugby. These figures indicate to me that a domestic rugby player is not really doing that. So is it any wonder they head to Japan, France, or England when the opportunity arises? For example, an academy graduate for an English Premiership club earns around £40,000 per season. That's around 959,000 rand, which is more than double what a young or new local player in South Africa is getting. Now you might say, Pete, it's all well and good you're comparing what a South African-based rugby player earns to what an English-based player earns. But maybe that's what rugby players earn. And yes, that's fair enough. But how about in comparison to what players from other sports earn? Well, according to one report, the average PSL football player in South Africa earns 215,617 rand with 1 to 3 years of experience. And a player of around 8 years experience is averaging more than 350,000 rand monthly. That's a whopping discrepancy. Although, having said that, some junior players are actually on as low as 7,500 rand. So it does depend on who you play for and where you rank in the food chain. I won't mention the club's name here, but I know for a fact one of the PSL clubs that pays players such a low sum tries to justify it by saying that players who came through their academy system should therefore be grateful to the club that they are playing professionally. I don't think there's anything to be grateful for when your salary is something that would have been competitive 3 decades ago. But I think we can safely say a local football player is better off than a local rugby player, on average, anyway. Either way, none of them are anywhere near this level. This is the Forbes Richest Athletes 2025 list, released just a couple of days ago. Cristiano Ronaldo leading the way with $275 million total earnings. Now, it's a little misleading because Ronaldo plays in the Saudi Pro League and the salaries there are disproportionate relative to other football leagues. So you can see Ronaldo's on-field earnings tower over his off-field earnings. But even so, $225 million on-field or $50 million off-field makes any rugby player look like a pauper. In fact, no rugby player even made the top 50. If you're listening to this as a podcast, I'll just quickly go through the full top 10 for you. Starting at 10, it's Kevin Durant, the basketball player. Baseball's Shohei Ohtani is 9th. 8th is football player Karim Benzema. Juan Soto of baseball is in position number 7. At 6, we have LeBron James. Lionel Messi is at 5. NFL quarterback Dak Prescott is in 4th. Tyson Fury is 3rd, with Steph Curry behind Ronaldo in top spot. So the next time you hear someone accuse a rugby player of earning too much money, I hope you'll set them straight with these facts and figures. And if you've enjoyed this content and would like to support me, I'd like to recommend my Patreon page once again that I mentioned earlier. You can sign up in the description area down below. See you next time.